Word of mouth.
This is Word of Mouth from NHPR. I'm Virginia Prescott, and I'm in a food rut. I really do love to cook, and I love the idea of eating locally sourced food. But by mud season, my motivation and taste for squash and potatoes grows stale. So I asked Keith Saracen to help jolt me out of my habitual dishes. He's chef and founder of The Farmer's Table. He and his crew do on-site farm-to-table dinners using locally produced foods. To be sure, cooking local is easier in the spring, summer, and fall when local farms are bumping. But considering that we just got a foot of snow last week, what does he cook in the winter?
So, how adventurous do we want to go? We
can go as adventurous as possible.
I met up with Keith at the Winter Farmers Market at the Mark Fisk School in Salem on a chilly Sunday morning. The challenge? Buy local foods and put together a meal so delicious that we, thinking I'd bring back something to share with my colleagues, would forget for a moment the dingy gray piles of slush outside.
What's your strategy, Keith, going into a place like this? Like, what are you looking for?
The first thing I look for is the quality of what we can get for vegetables right now. Mm-hmm. There's still some vegetables from the root houses and stuff like that, so I go vegetable first.
Okay.
That strategy is a kind of full body experience for Keith, seeing and smelling the produce. And warning, this is an NPR food segment, so you are going to hear some...
Mmm. It smells fantastic.
Mmm.
Nice, right?
Oh, I see.
And watermelon
beautiful
rashes.
Watermelon rashes.
Yeah.
Mm.
There's also a lot of touching.
First thing I want to feel for is a firm texture.
This one looks a little wrinkly.
Yeah, you can push on it, and you see how it kind of springs back a bit. Firmer.
And even listening, which for him means going to the market without an agenda.
We kind of just go and let the ingredient say what it wants to be, which is weird and spiritual, but it makes sense.
Here's ingredient.
Yeah, I'm the ingredient whisperer.
I gotta say, come end of winter, early spring, vegetables are not really speaking to me. I do buy foreign fruit and meat and fish at the supermarket. And if I'm in town, I do walk to my winter's farmers markets and pick up greens and onions, but mostly clomp past the baskets of turnips and rutabaga and celerac and my heavy boots to grab a loaf of my favorite bread before it sells out. Toast is my true winter staple, which is a little embarrassing to admit to Keith.
Those onions
Have
look
I
fantastic.
Have I ever cooked a rutabaga in my life? No.
Really?
No.
We might just put you in an apron then, and then you can check that off the bucket list.
It's not on my bucket list.
Well.
Or Celerac, for that matter.
That's another one I wonder about, Celerac.
Celerac's awesome.
What do you do with it?
A lot of different things. You can make a slaw out of it, puree.
Celerac, for the record, is the root of the celery plant. It's a tuber, and you can cook it like a potato.
It's one of those things that people go, I don't know what to do with that, and they then avoid it as a result of it.
Keith, I soon see, is more than an ingredient whisperer. He's a local produce booster. He refers to sunchokes as the New England truffle and looks most kindly upon imperfect vegetables. The parsnip with teeny bug trails, or the carrot gnarled by New England's rocky soil.
When you see tomatoes in the summer and stuff like that, a lot of people will go for that perfect tomato. If I'm doing sauces, that's the last thing I want. I want those ugly fruits. The ugly fruits and vegetables have such a purpose, and that's the stuff that when you walk into a grocery store, you don't see that anymore, right? Everything's perfect and pristine. But nature is cruel, and nature has some backbone to it. And so what we want to do is we want to say, okay, what are we doing with the product, and how can we help the farmer? That's where it starts.
We go dish by dish, inspired by what's there. Keith's instinct for rescuing misfit vegetables steers us towards what the farmers can't get rid of.
Question for you.
Yep.
What do you have too much of right now? I know, weird question.
So we buy a lonesome porterhouse steak, and I nearly keel over when I pay $26, and quark. Not the subatomic particle, but an often discarded dairy product.
Quark is kind of like a German cream cheese. Basically, it has the texture of ricotta, and since their cows feed off grass, it has a little bit of grassiness to it, which is beautiful.
Plus pea shoots, carrots, onions, watermelon radish, and
Celerac.
Okay, so that's relatively little. That's funny. Just a couple carrots and some radish. Okay.
And then Keith brings up something I am always willing to buy.
Coffee.
I could use a coffee.
My response is Pavlovian. Keith envisions using it for flavoring the carrots, a plate of coffee, cream, and sugar made of vegetables.
Sweetness of the coffee, that acts as your sugar. The earthiness and deepness of the coffee is going to come through in the carrot because it's porous. And then cork for the cream. We got a dish.
We pick up some locally roasted coffee for $11. That's the smallest bag they sell it for. Altogether, we're in for $61. And we decide that next time, we'll aim for a much tighter budget.
Want me to hold your coffee for you, dear?
Yes, sir.
I can do it for you.
You are an all-purpose guy, you know, to bring to the
The next day, we meet at a friend of Keith's roomy kitchen in Nashua. Pots are simmering on the stove, and he's prepped a neat row of ingredients in small bowls.
Okay, so what have we got here?
Over here, those wonderful watermelon radishes that we got.
Keith builds up a little teepee of coffee-infused carrots above the layer of soft cheese. He adorns it with pickled watermelon radish and cumin-toasted breadcrumbs in one artfully layered pea tendril.
It's good.
It is freaking delicious. I don't know if I can say that on the radio.
Altogether, it is yummy and more inventive than I would have thought of, but it is simple. Keith says that's the trick. With food this good, you just have to work not to mess it up.
Okay, loving the first course.
Second course.
The fanciest thing? He's sous-viding the porterhouse steak. That is a thing. Sous vide is French for under vacuum, basically sealing food and seasonings in a vacuum pack and immersing it in a slow, warm, gentle whirlpool bath.
Wow. The pea shoot tendrils are awesome.
And finally, Chef Keith sits down, not to eat, but to talk.
What you have in front of you is 100% local.
I am completely sold on the food and on Keith's devotion, which does not come off as even remotely pious. Keith grew up in Nashua and found his way to loving food by experimenting with his grandmother's cookbooks.
I think I got tired of eating box mac and cheese. God bless her, but she's not the best cook. And so for us, it was a necessity. She would work two jobs. I would come home from school.
20 years later, he's established himself as something of an evangelist for local food, and the relationships and community that it builds.
We want to be able to support local farms, but also introduce people to a new way of eating.
Still, stuck in my Yankee craw is paying $61 to make an everyday, meaning not dinner party, meal. The food is undeniably gorgeous and delicious, but fresh local food is a more expensive choice for many families. What does that mean for someone like Keith? Who's known what it's like to struggle?
There's no question that there's a cost that is much higher associated with buying local. But cost is subjective. Do we value the cost up front of the money that we're spending on local healthy products, keeping our money right here in this community? Because at the end of the day, we're voting with our dollar. When we go to a supermarket and we purchase a tomato, that tomato is typically picked 3,500 miles away by migrant workers. That tomato is picked when it is actually not ripe, ripened with ethylene gas over the course of this trip to that supermarket. When you buy that, you're buying a system. If you buy the tomato from the farmer, you're buying a system. It's all up to what we want to do.
I'm going to eat more.
Please do. You want anything to drink? Water?
Yes, water would be great. No ice. You know what, I just decided I'm not going to share this with my colleagues. I'm going to bring it home and eat dinner tonight.
In my defense, the portions were kind of delicate. You can see photographs of the mud season meal cooked by Keith Saracen, the chef and founder of The Farmer's Dinner. He is an intuitive chef, but he did write down the recipes so you can try them at home. All of that is at wordofmouthradio.org.